Ta-ta there, TikToks. Thank you for joining us today. To my right, my sweet love of my life, fire of my loins, is still on tour in Europe. But kindly today, Ryan Sickler is here to co-host. Thank you. I'm sorry, I should have clapped too.
You shouldn't clap. I'm clapping because I'm excited to be here, not for myself. I'm clapping for the opportunity. I love you.
For those of you who don't already know, Ryan is a part of the Studio Jeans family, and you may check him out on the Honeydew podcast.
Yes, Honeydew podcast, honeydewpodcast.com. That's where you can find everything you need to know about the Honeydew. And make sure you subscribe to the Your Mom's House YouTube channel where all of our videos are.
That's right. It's highlighting the lowlights in
life. That's right.
So you guys talk about the tough stuff that you've somehow turned and made into something positive, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I love
the worst shit, and we like to laugh at the worst shit.
Isn't that the essence of good comedy?
Yes, it is.
All right, let's get into it. So we got this wonderful opening clip. As you know, I'm a fan of the talk.
Stop saying that I look like Jeffrey Dahmer. Stop it. It's really hurtful.
I mean, as soon as you say it, you can't not feel.
I'm not a racist.
My sister went down. Going down to the mountain.
Welcome to your mom's house with Tom Segura.
Christina Pajitsu.
Welcome to your mom's house.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. More like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over. And setting up a Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/mom. That's mintmobile.com/mom. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/mom. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Ta-ta there, TikToks. How much do you love that girl?
I'm sitting here laughing so hard thinking how many people had to say, you know, you look like Jeffrey Dahmer before she put a video out to calling all ears. Stop saying I look like it must have been so many people. Where she's like, I mean, then why not at least like take that advice and change your glasses or something? You know what I mean? Like do something a little different because the pigtails are not doing it. As soon as she said it, I was like, oh, my God. She does look like Jeffrey Dahmer.
It's so good. You know what I loved? Is that nerds always get fucking... nerds always get bullied and trolled. And, like, they think the way to stop it is to be like, stop calling me Jeffrey Dahmer.
You got to have a new game plan.
Yeah, like, you don't get them to stop bullying you. Yeah. Like, you guys need to stop bullying me. That just like it spirals.
The way to not get people to bully you is the worst. The way you can start it off is, okay, listen up, everybody. Like then you're right there. You're gonna get eggs thrown at you, or shots to the face.
100%. Like
people don't care.
They don't care. And in fact, like every time I see one of these nerds get on there and be like,
I saw you guys in my comment section leaving bad comments.
Like, you guys, it doesn't fucking work. Like, you just have to F all the haters. You have to ignore.
They don't exist.
No, bring her back up. We're not done. We are not done.
This, she's my favorite.
She is just prime. Okay, and you're right. Right from the jump. So let's examine the TikTok.
Stop saying that I look like Jeffrey Dahmer.
That is a mass request to any and everyone who's listening. That's not, hey, Kevin, stop saying I look like Jeffrey Dahmer.
It's very specific. Can you bring up a picture of Jeffrey Dahmer really quick?
Oh, God, those glasses are just not
when I saw this one, I would never expect those words to come out of that little girl's
mouth.
That's
what I'm saying. That's the first thing she said. She does look like that. The glasses right underneath these, the glasses. These glasses are it, yeah.
Especially because...
Who goes into the... she went into Costco for glasses and said, give me the Dahmers. Give me the Jeffrey Dahmer.
Right, like... And especially, she's so young. She actually knows that reference. That's pretty alarming. But yeah, you know you look like a serial killer.
Maybe she learned it from this.
From the...
where they call her. She's like, who's Jeffrey Dahmer?
Who the fuck is that guy?
Oh, give me the Dahmer.
The guy that killed and ate people? That's what you think I look like?
That is a very distinct look. Like, that guy only kills people.
That's it. That's his job.
That's his primary gig. He is not an accountant, right?
No.
What is he? Is he wearing, like, mechanics coveralls? Oh, no, that's prison
garb. That's prison jumpsuit. Yeah.
Oh, give me the Dahmer.
Stop saying that I look like Jeffrey Dahmer. Stop it.
Stop it.
It's really hurtful.
Oh, okay. Okay, fucking nut. And then she ate
a roast beef.
Yeah, such a nut. I just want to thank TikTok for all this content. It just keeps getting better.
That was a good one.
I need a drink of water.
Yeah, that was a good one. She came out of the gate hot, man.
I mean, I was bullied. And I think, you know, I got it. Honestly, I think everybody at some point gets bullied in their life. And now the worst thing you can try to do is to stop the world from bullying, because you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's like trying to stop dumb people. Like, we're going to put an end to, or something that's not stoppable. We're going to end all fires. We're going to end the whole war. It's not going to happen. So you got to teach your kids to just beat the fuck out of somebody.
Listen,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
since my daughter's been three, I tell her, you don't ever hit anybody. But if somebody hits you, you can hit them back. Make sure you don't hit first, you hit last.
100%.
And she's like, but I'll get in trouble. I said, well, then you let me deal with that.
But you know,
you protect yourself.
That's right. But in school now, the kid gets in trouble for hitting back. Did you know that? Your daughter will get suspended.
I'm okay with that.
Same.
I'm okay with that.
Same.
She'll remember that even more.
100%.
My dad stuck up for me and they still suspended me.
Yes.
So especially for girls, you know. But now they have the whole anti-bullying campaigns in school, which I mean, I support.
Good luck.
I support the message,
of course,
just like the say no to drugs.
Yeah. Good luck, guys.
Good luck on
us.
That. But there's always going to be assholes. And that's what life is.
100.
That's what life is. My stepson just got his first job. He's 16. I'm very proud. I'm working at Little Caesars.
Oh, pizza.
And a guy comes in with a $100 bill, and their rule is they can only accept 20 and under. He's the only male working with three other ladies, and one of those ladies is the manager. This guy's fucking hot. He's screaming, he's yelling, and no one knew what to do. And he finally just pulls out his wallet, he goes, I have $17, but he owed like 21. He threw it on the counter, he grabbed his fucking pizzas, and he ran out, shorting him $4. But it was his first time seeing, like, oh my God, people are fucking assholes. Mm-hmm. Some people are just fucking assholes. And he was like, what the fuck? And I'm like, now you're learning what life is about.
100%. And some people don't have the luxury of being raised by nice, loving parents, and that's how they become bullies.
Yes.
So you're talking about a really bigger problem other than, like, stop people from making comments.
Right.
Like, okay, good
luck.
But
you're going to confront it in your life. Like,
yeah.
I was never bullied in the sense that it was this ongoing thing all through ninth grade or whatever. But there were certainly instances in my life where I was bullied, you know, moments, I would say, not a course of action. But that's where I learned to everyone's going to have that, whether it's in sports or school or work, all of it. It's going to happen.
I'm telling you, some girl used to beat there's a story I did on Comedy Central. This is not happening. Ari's show where I talk about this girl, Rosina, Was that her name? Did I just say her name? Yeah. And she used to bully me in the locker room. And you know what I did? I punched back.
Fuck yeah.
I just fucking punched. I didn't say I made contact, but I punched back. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do.
That's
is
it.
Just swing, man. Okay. So as you see, my beloved Tom is out. And we have such a major, awesome YMH update. So they're in Amsterdam right now, Josh Potter and Tommy, and this is the video Tom sent us today, what's going to be happening later tonight.
Hey, YMH family. I'm in Amsterdam, absolutely stunning city. Yesterday was Berlin. Well, after the wall fell, we got bananas on the east side. That's what I learned. I'm going to go to the gym. And I really am, pre-show workout, the two shows here in Amsterdam. Then I'm going to go to the red light district with Josh and hopefully hire the hottest prostitute to make him come. That's what I'm trying to do. He said that he was down, so just got to find an ATM and it's going to happen. Anyways, I always miss doing the show, and I'm glad that Gene and Ryan are doing it, the beginning of it for me. Hope you enjoy the episode. Lots of love. I'll give you another update soon.
Oh, there you have it. So as you know, Josh Potter can't come.
I do know.
And I think if there's any place in the world.
The world, Christina.
Yeah. And have you been to
infamous,
Amsterdam?
I have.
Yeah. And have you been to the red light district?
I was 16 years old. I made a soccer team that was like a, you know, one of those Olympic developmental teams. They have a bunch of these teams. I was under 17, a USA teams, not team. I want to be real clear about that. It was like a regional one. And we went over and we went to Amsterdam and I went to the red light district. And at 16 years old, I saw shit I still haven't seen today.
Same.
Yeah.
Can you bring up image? Let's see if we can, because I think people should see this. It's pretty fascinating. When I went, I was filming that Showtime thing with Bert Kreischer.
Oh, yeah.
The fattest, that's most right. racist comedian working today. We did a Showtime thing, and I don't know, what was that, a decade ago, maybe now. And it's fascinating. There you go. As you can see, the women, they stand in these glass boxes with doors on them, and they inside that little room there's a sink and a bed, and then they open the door, they knock on the glass, and they kind of catcall to the men walking through the streets, and it's just rows and rows and rows and rows, and a lot of these are really beautiful women from the Ukraine, from all over. I think Yoshi loves Amsterdam for this reason. And what's really cool, did you ever see the alarm go off?
No.
So what happens sometimes if a John skips out and doesn't pay, an alarm goes off, and you see the pimps and all, like, these women are protected, and the cops and everybody, they run and they get the guy and they beat the shit out of him. It's pretty fucking amazing. So I'm so curious to see which one of these fine ladies Josh will choose. Now, when I was there too, I believe I asked one of the prostitutes what her rate was, and I think she said 50 or 60 euro for anything. And that was in the red light district.
And what is that in U.S. dollars?
Maybe like $100.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what the exchange is. Maybe $100.
I mean, they are going to the capital of make you come right now. So on planet Earth.
I know.
Except for maybe some places in Asia.
Asia, too.
Yeah.
I think, isn't Thailand a big one? Wherever my dad goes is kind of big. The Philippines. Wonderful locations. It's for the culture. He's going to enjoy the scenery, museums in Thailand.
Well, if it doesn't happen here, I mean, good luck, Josh. Good luck.
I know. I'm curious which chick he's going
to
pick.
I know. I can't wait to see his taste.
Because they are very aggressive. I have a feeling he's going to go for the one, because it's like a musical. They knock on the door. Hey, baby, and then they'll be like, come here, you with the hat, mm-hmm. you with the glasses. You look like you da 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 da. They do solicit. So I have a feeling it's going to be a woman who's very persistent, persuasive. I don't know what Josh's type is. Does he like blondes or brunettes? Do we know? I think he just likes vaginas.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he's picky.
Well, I am so excited. Tom sent in a second video, did he not? Yeah, there was a second one. Go check your email. He said he sent in a second one. Have you ever seen a hooker?
Ever seen one?
Have you ever been with a hooker?
I've never been with one, but I've seen them a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a place in Baltimore I used to go eat, and the truckers would go, and that was the ho stroll for the truckers.
The ho stroll.
Yeah. Chaps Pit Beef, shout out Chaps.
Lot lizards.
Let me tell you something, the best pit beef in the probably the world. It's the red light district of pit beef, but right there where a lot of the truckers would come through, they would stroll, right? Just on the median. On the grass, right there, you know, like, and I was like, man.
Well, that's the great part about Amsterdam and that district is like, look, this is always going to happen.
Yes.
You may as well protect it, commodify it, tax it.
There's a certain class to women. It, you know, upscale class to it. It's not.
Oh, you think
like
it's the same video? It's not. I don't think so. Let me take a look on my phone.
Yeah, I think it was just you sent it on iCloud and then you sent it as an actual attachment.
Ah,
so I don't think there's a follow-up.
No, he said another vid to play. How done?
No, yeah, that was where I downloaded it from.
Oh, yeah, okay, sorry. I was making sure we didn't miss out on a word of my...
No, yeah, I'm sure next week, on the next episode, we'll be getting an update.
I cannot fucking wait.
What happened just now.
What do you think? Do you think it's going to happen?
Ooh. I don't know, because I don't think it's that, you know, the thing that's holding Josh back is, well, you know, she doesn't want to do what I want.
Yeah.
I don't think that's his problem. So although a hooker will do whatever you want, that doesn't solve Josh's problem.
It doesn't solve the problem. I think the problem is intimacy. I think he needs to really connect with somebody and then and feel loved and supported, and then he can relax.
Well, I mean, I think, like, these hookers, they're pretty good at role play, right? I mean, they are professionals. Maybe,
but you don't have much time. Like, you get in there, and... Sorry, what were you going to say? I interrupted
you.
No.
Just that they could fake...
Fake being a mom?
Yeah, fake showing support.
Mom.
That's not what
Hurry
I said.
Up, the kids are waiting. I'll fold this laundry while you hit it from behind.
But, you know, like, role playing, like, intimacy and stuff like that. Like, yeah. You know, before getting into it, just like... How's your day? You know, stuff like that.
But I got to tell you, so you saw those booths, right? They're literally tiny glass rooms like the one you guys are in. And there's a sink and then a twin bed. And then you go in, she closes the curtain. So like, you know, you're in a foreign environment. It's ugh. And I imagine she just like washes her hand.
I don't think that's a problem for Josh.
Plus, yeah.
I don't think being in a foreign environment is.
I think she's going to shove a thumb up his ass and he's going to come buckets. That's what I think is going to happen. I think she's going to unleash a fucking demon out of that kid.
I'm going to suggest Tom do more than one, because if he can't come
Agreed.
With one.
It could be her.
Yeah.
It could be her if you just try
and
to
And maybe him getting so pent up and built up, like he's going to have to release. That's the method. That's the method, right? Like, he's going to have to jizz at some point. Otherwise, it's going to hurt, right? You can get blue balls if you don't bust nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he could do that.
That's how he that's how he usually does it, though, is that he goes with the woman and then he finishes off
But
himself.
We don't let him do it himself. We just keep going and finding another chick.
Put his hands in casts.
Yeah. It's like when you're potty training, pull-ups aren't an option.
Nope.
You have to use the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
So, wait, you're saying... Tom should take him to his first prostitute, and
yes.
before he busts, be like, no, wait, Josh, stop. I'm going to take you to the next one now.
No, he can. If he doesn't bust with the first one, hold that nut. You're not allowed to touch it. We're gonna ride this bitch until you bust nuts
how
with
many,
one of these bitches. We're just going to go down the road, dude.
How many hookers do you think they're going to go through in one night?
I don't know. As much money as Tommy's got.
Josh could end up getting jumped into the Amsterdam gang. They fuck him, then none of them will respect him over there in the red light. They're like, "Pooh, fuck you, Josh. You fucked all of us here. We don't respect you."
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Well, good luck, Josh. I hope you come. I can't wait to get
good
the
luck,
update.
Josh.
I cannot wait to get the update. We have a fun clip. Let's tee this up. What's going on here, Nadav?
Okay, so this is a video of a guy. There's no volume on this. So, Christina, I want you to give a play-by-play of what's happening.
Okay. All right, there's a guy behind a jewelry counter. Looks like a counter of some kind. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Wait, did it already happen?
Yep.
So there's just a guy casually standing there at a cash register, and there's just a pile of shit under him, and he's in flip-flops.
Oh, fuck.
And he's standing in the poo. Dude, why do you wear flip-flops? Never wear flip-flops in public.
So yeah, here, like, so
let's
watch
see it again.
It
yeah. Go. Because
I
missed it.
I'm fascinated by this video.
Yeah, go ahead. Look.
For oh! Now he's check this part out. This is the professional move. Hold on. Checking his phone like nothing happened.
That is so
crazy. I wish I was that composed when I shit myself.
I know, right?
Oh my!
Yeah, because it's like I told you, I said on the show that I shit myself this year.
Yeah,
I shared one, you know, I think one instance, but I cannot check my phone. I cannot look anything.
No.
My face looks like I just shit
of
myself.
Of course,
this guy is a pro.
Bolt.
He's done this before. Yeah. And he knows that the move is to just look on your phone. You know, if the smell doesn't hit you.
Oh, God, the smell. Just,
how could it not?
Well, this is diarrhea. This is not a lock.
That's got to be
this
instant.
Is an emergency.
This is an emergency.
Yeah, let's look at it again. Look at these moves.
Oh, God.
Look,
yeah, he goes.
Look at it.
You know what it is?
And eyebrows don't even raise.
And I saw the pant waffle. Like, I saw the movement of the short. So I think he went to fart and he sharded. Look.
I agree.
Watch the wind. Oh, well, there's a
we'll
slight.
Start at the beginning again.
Yeah. Let's look at the, see how he farts and then
he slides it back.
Wow, you saw the fart.
Thank you. I'm the brown detective.
You are a brown detective.
Brown lock. Let me tell you,
because
I've done this. This is exactly what happens when you brown like that. Because one time I was standing in the kitchen without underwear on and I was wearing my pajama bottoms and I farted and this exact thing happened, but didn't come out the bottom. I just sharted all over my legs.
And it was liquid?
Yeah,
it was
just
like
that.
This liquid?
Yes. And I, because I had pizza the night before from this place. Anyway, the thing is, it's shocking at first because you're trying in your mind. You're like, yeah, but I just farted. There's no way there's brown. But it's only a fart. Like, he's still going, it's just a fart. It's just a fart. And then he goes, oh, my God, it's not. Pretend like, be cool.
You don't think he felt the hot brown on his leg? And underneath his foot between his flip-flop?
Now he does, yeah. But at the first moment of denial, see, he's farting. He's pushing. There it is. There's the wind. Oh. And now he knows. He looks down. He confirms it. Oh, fuck. And he's looking around like, did anyone see that?
Out comes
get
the
phone.
Yep.
Wow, I could watch this clip forever.
Yeah, the guy working.
Doesn't smell it yet.
So actually, I'm wondering when that guy smells it and if he accuses him.
I know. Does this video go any longer?
No, that's the whole video. Because I want to know what this guy does after he's accused.
Yes.
Did you just shit? Does he play it off like, hey, that was here when I got here?
No matter what he says, it's on their camera.
Oh, no.
that is mounted up here in the store.
I mean, I want to know.
You gotta fess up.
This is a nail biter. I am more excited to see what happens here.
God damn, he slides it with his. Oh, and he's sloshing it.
God damn it.
It's so sick.
But I feel incomplete. I have to know what happens.
Is that the end of it?
That's
there's
what I'm
no
saying.
More of that there?
That's the whole
all?
Video.
It is.
Here's what I would do. I would come clean immediately. Why don't you just come clean and be like, bro?
I just say, come clean it up. Shit.
Well, that's the thing. If you come clean, then they're going
to
be like, here's a mop.
Yeah.
Clean up your shit.
Hey,
I'd be like, sorry.
The question is, are you okay with doing that or just kind of pawn it off on someone
or
that works there?
I might do what he's doing, actually. It's just being like, all right, dude, thanks. Bye-bye now. And then just track. I mean,
you're tracking?
I think this guy's gone through enough trial and error to know this is the path of least resistance.
Yes.
If you try to sprint right now, you risk slipping in that.
Oh, my God.
And falling right there all in it, and then you're busted.
Can I?
If you hustle out of there, you'll track little shit footprints all the way out the door.
Ooh.
I mean, you gotta own that. Be like, listen, man, I know while you're dusting off that thing right there, can you point me to your restroom? Because I got to finish the shit I just took on your floor. Can I finish the shit I just started in your store in the restroom, and I'll come back?
So, Ryan, you would confess to it immediately?
I would have to. I would know that, look, in today's world, if you don't think there's a camera on you wherever you are at any second, you're a fool. So I would fess up to that because I would know. Plus, the way I am, I already saw that camera when I walked in that store.
I know
that thing's there.
This is the most compelling argument. This is why I get so upset when I see people wearing flip-flops in the streets. This is the most compelling argument why you should be wearing fucking closed-toe shoes, dude. I'm serious. Like, when I go to New York City in the middle of summer and I see people walking in flip-flops, I'm like, there is nasty shit on the floor. There's fucking hypodermic needles, garbage, dog shit, human shit. You gotta wear shoes, bro. You could shit your pants.
Hold on. So the reason to wear flip-flops is because you might shit your pants and it might get in your flip-flop?
Of course. Oh, this is... I'm telling you, the worst part of this cleanup is his feet. Are his feet.
I agree.
The worst part of this cleanup today is getting that out of that out of his foot.
Getting it up out of that pinky toenail that's stuck up in there.
Your sex life is important, but your schedule is busy. You don't have the time to go to a doctor's office to get treated for your erectile dysfunction. Through Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. Hims is changing men's health care by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment, options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor's visits. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/YMH. That's hims.com/YMH for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/YMH. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code YMH24 to get 25% off, up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. With thousands of stores all over the country, you're sure to find what you're looking for and more. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25% off, up to $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code YMH24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets.
By the way, who's joining us on this episode afterwards?
This one, Yakov Smirnoff is going to be on this one.
Oh, you're going to love this. So Tom will join. As you see, we kind of piece these things together separately. Tom will be here for the Yakov Smirnoff. He was such a great interview. You guys are going to be very pleasantly astonished, actually. I was, and just how sensitive and intelligent and wonderful Yakov was. I still think about that interview that we did it a couple weeks ago, and I still think about him, and I just love him. Remember him from the 80s?
He's we had famous. Him on the Crab Feast, but he was fantastic.
God, I love him.
His stories are amazing.
Let's do Tommy's dates first, since I did mine first last time. Okay, Tom Segura out on the road. God damn, my sweet love. My sweet fire love. Okay, so T is in Amsterdam tonight. He's going to be in Paris, London, Salford, Dublin, Kingston, New York. 11/6 he returns. And then November 7th, he's in New York again. Two shows. They added a show at the Beacon Theater. And then Bensalem, Pennsylvania on the 8th of November. That's our band of Smurfrony. And then November 9th, Buffalo, New York. The 10th. Syracuse at the Landmark Theater. November 13th, Charlotte at the Ovens Auditorium. November 14th, Pensacola. And then November 15th, Lake Charles, Louisiana. November 16th, Austin, Texas. Two shows there. The 17th, again, Austin at the Paramount Theater. And then the 29th, Melbourne, Florida. That's right after Thanksgiving. The 30th, he's in Miami. And then we go into December. Holy shit. Erie, Columbus, Grand Rapids. And then Windsor, Momtario, my birth. That is my birth city. Woo, woo. And then Honolulu for New Year's. Very exciting. Tickets for Tommy are tomsegura.com. Myself, I'm going to be doing Flappers in the Yoohoo Room, a residency every Thursday. Come see me. I'm just like throwing shit against the wall. I'm just talking to people in the room, you know, figuring it out. Seattle, Portland, November 22nd and 23rd. Tickets are almost completely gone for that. And then into 2020. Let's do this. January 30th, Houston Improv. March 13th, Miami Improv. March 26th, Addison Improv in Dallas. April 3rd and 4th, Caroline's at Jew Dork Titties. And I think I'm going to have Shuli from The Howard Stern Show opening for me, Caroline's, which I'm so excited about. April 24th and 25th, Des Moines at the Funny Bone in Iowa. And then June 12th through 13th, Phoenix, Arizona at Stand Up Live. Tickets at Christina P. Online. Thank you very much. God bless you. Oh, merch. Do we have anything to plug-wise, merch-wise? Check out the store, tomsegura.com/, is it merch? Store. No, store. tomsegura.com/store for all. Click on that, mommies. What's the link? Merch.
If you go to merchmethod.com/tomsegura, you'll see everything that we have for sale. Two Bears, One Cave shirts, tour shirts, posters, hats. Where the Bodies G shirts, Dr. Dr. Drew After Dark shirts. Just so much stuff.
So much stuff. Do you have anything to plug?
When does this come out?
Next week.
Denver. Come see me, Denver. I'm at the Comedy Works South, November 21st through the 23rd.
Sounds good. Listen to The Honeydew. Listen to Where My Mom's At.
Yep.
Enjoy this part coming up with Yakov Smirnoff. Thank you for listening, downloading, and ta-ta their TikToks. Until next time. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to have this guest with us here today. I feel like you are a huge part of my life. My parents adored you. I adore you.
Thank you.
Grew up with you. And I can't believe I'm having like the privilege to sit here and be in the same space as you. So please welcome Yakov Smirnoff. Come on, everybody.
Yeah.
Hello.
No, it's awesome, man.
It's amazing
that you're
here. Thank
you. Thank you. And I'm honored to be here. I admire your work. And so it's great that to see what you guys accomplished and how comfortable it is to be here.
Well, thanks, man. I mean, it's so fun to be, I mean, still, like we talk about it all the time, our favorite thing is to hang out with comedians, you know?
Yes.
And I love, like, when a comedian has been doing it longer than me and is still, like, I feel like loves, like, you love doing stand-up.
I love it.
And
totally.
That's inspiring to me.
Thank you.
I really I enjoy that, man, because, you know, we both remember, you know, being kids and seeing, you know, when you're a kid, you get exposure is seeing like one of the stand-up shows, you know,
right.
like Live at the Improv.
Or a Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield. And like, you're one of the pioneers of what's today like such a huge art form.
Yes.
Stand-up's so popular.
Yes.
But it's because of guys like you who like paved that way, man.
Well,
thank you.
And who did it in not their native language.
That's another level. Yeah.
But so for those of you who don't know, the reason I'm so familiar with you and loved you so much, my parents escaped from communism in 1969 from Hungary.
Okay.
So for those listening, a lot of people don't remember, but the Russians had annexed much of Central Eastern Europe.
Yes.
And so
I had nothing to
you
do
nothing
with
that personally. Blame you.
Yeah. Well, it's okay.
So my parents essentially, you know, we had to learn to speak Russian. The communists didn't allow freedom of religion or any of that stuff. And food was hard to come by. It was a very messed up time. But they escaped. And seeing you on television, and you were from, what part of Russia are you?
I'm from Ukraine.
Ukraine. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oof, deep. Yeah, oof.
You guys are in the news all the time.
Yes, we are. Yeah. But it's interesting. Where?
Yeah, like specific,
Odessa.
Odessa, yes.
Black Sea. Yeah.
That's its own language, too. You guys speak your own.
Yes.
Thing.
And you had, Odessa. Even though you had shortages in Hungary and you didn't have anything close to our shortages.
Really?
You know? Oh, my goodness.
You guys got it worse than we did.
We were dreaming to go to Hungary, you know?
Shit.
We were hungry to go to Hungary.
Man.
But how does it, like, I mean, the whole idea of, just, you know, immigrating and that is in and of itself is a thing. But how do you even entertain the idea of, like, were you a fan of stand-up?
Actually, I was a successful comedian there. I was 26 when I left. So I was doing comedy since I was like 15.
Stand-up was big there?
There was no freedom of speech.
That's correct.
How did you do it?
Well, we had, when you want to be a professional comedian, you have to submit your material to Department of Jokes. And it's part of Ministry of Culture, right? And they have Department of Music, Department of Dance, all the departments, and bureaucrats are basically telling you this, you can't do this.
Do they give you any notes like creatively? Yeah.
What or are the
just
guys?
Like, not creative. They're just
like, this
no,
is not going to hit.
Yeah,
no.
This is not going to happen. This is not going to happen, you know. And you push the envelope just a little bit, but you can get in big trouble if you...
You end up in a gulag somewhere.
That's right. That's
no,
right.
Literally. Yeah.
I don't think it was happening during my time. It was just you would get fired or get fired at. But they weren't killing people or putting them away during that time in the 60s. And so, but we got this information from our mother's milk that don't say anything because people disappeared and in thousands and thousands just by telling a wrong joke or wrong story or anything.
Well, let me stop you real quick because we're so used to the infrastructure of the American comedy scene, meaning like there's, you know, there's clubs all over the country and it's such a big thing now. Back then, when you're like, I was already a successful comedian, how often were you doing shows and where were you doing shows?
Well, everything was owned by the government. So including theaters and including clubs.
Lounges and bars.
Yeah, but no, there was very little. It was very straightforward. It's normally a, you know, 2,000 or 1,000 seat theater.
Okay.
There's no alcohol. There's not, you know.
But it's popular. It's obviously a thing.
It's enough to eventually I was doing okay, you know, and then I started working on a cruise ship. So I call it the love barge, but it was still, it was still a cruise ship. And that's where I was able to perform. And that's where I got introduced to idea even because we were not allowed to see or communicate or be with anybody from outside Soviet Union. So foreigners who would come, they would make sure that the KGB was around them. So there was no contact because, well,
they didn't want you to get polluted by their thoughts.
The way the you control the socialist society is by cutting off the information from the outside. So religion is gone. No contact with anybody outside. And then TV just pumps the propaganda towards you.
Yeah.
And in our case, you know, I tell a joke that we had two channels. Channel one was propaganda. Channel two, there was a KGB officer telling you to turn back to channel one. So that was our reality. And we didn't know anything. And here I get on the cruise ship, and I was... So first of all, had my own room. I mean, prior to that, I lived in a communal apartment with nine families in one apartment.
Which is, by the way, something that the communists did. They came and the government would take over private property,
exactly.
Right? So now if you had a nice big house, let's say you were a successful person, the government would go, well, guess what? We're going to take this house, and now all these other families are going to come live with
That's
you.
That's right.
So the government would take over, which is
crazy. And so each family had a room in the apartment. So it could be like a library or a den or a bedroom or whatever. And so there was nine families in one apartment. Yeah. So I tell a joke, you know, when my parents wanted to be romantic and we were living in the same room, they would send me to look out the window. And then my dad would say, so what do you see in the window? I said, our neighbors being romantic. And he said, how can you tell? I said, because their son is looking at me. So that was our, that was the life that we lived. No phone, no car, long lines for food. It was just normal Soviet existence.
Yeah. And how long does it take between the first thought of I'm going to leave? And actually, you know what I mean? Like when do you start going like, I'm gonna get out of here?
I'll tell you an interesting story that happened that triggered for me that thought.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I was working on the cruise ship, and they offered me one gig for a week just to test me. And I did a good job, and they asked me to go again. And I said, well, I've been touring and I haven't seen my parents for about a year, so I'd like to bring them on the boat, or if you can pay me, then I can buy a cabin for them as well. And they were just shocked that I even requested anything like that. And they just said, get the hell out of here. There's
really?
No way. Yeah. There's no way you ever. We have hundreds of people like you. Get out. So I left and I go home and I tell my parents, you know, and I tried and they kicked me out. And so we kind of accepted that as normal Soviet life.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 hours later, the knock on the door, a messenger comes in with two sets of tickets for my parents and for me. And I'm like, I never heard of anything. My parents are like, we never heard of anything like that happening. What's going on? So we get on board, and I asked the cruise director, I said, what happened? He said, well, the ship normally is leased to some other foreign countries. You know, could be Britain, could be America, could be... So captain and others, like upper crew, goes with the ship. So they learn some things from capitalists. And I guess when the captain found out that I'm not going to be on the ship, he went back to the company and said, even if you need to give him my own cabin, I want him on the ship.
Really?
And yes. And I swear to you, I went, wait. I said to a cruise director, I said, wait, let me get this. Hold on. I never heard this. Are you saying that there are places in the world, if people are more talented and they can do something more than the average person, that they will get rewards? I know it sounds crazy.
Right.
You grow up with it. We never heard of it. My parents never heard of it. So that was the light bulb went, wow, we need to get out of here. And that's how it started.
Holy shit.
Can I take one step back?
Sure.
Those jokes that you told us,
yes.
Were those approved by the Ministry of Humor? No.
No.
What are the guidelines like?
The guidelines, you can't talk about politics, government, sex, religion. The rest is fine.
There's
like mother-in-law jokes and animal jokes. And it's really very limited. But there was an interesting art form that to be able to come up with material that would be acceptable by the bureaucrat, but people could hear behind the joke.
Right,
they heard
the double
something
meaning.
Different. Yeah.
Right.
And so that was an art form that was kind of...
That really makes you work at it, though.
You have to, yeah. But it was a great training in comedy to be able to have a limited amount. If it's like an athlete who trains for Olympics and you run in the sand... Because that's harder.
Sure. Yeah, that's right.
And then you show up on normal, you know, runway like, and you're good. Yeah.
So when you go through that ship experience where you're like, oh, people get rewarded for being talented, it plants a seed in your head.
Yes.
And then how long from then until you actually... Do you escape, by the way?
No. There was a window that because I was in that environment that people were talking to me, I was preview to some information that most people were not, because Jimmy Carter was at that time was very much for human rights, and he said, and the Russians were starving, so he said, you show some human rights and allow people out and we will give you some wheat. So we were exchanged for some tons of wheat, literally.
And they exported in exchange for
wheat. How old are you in that?
I was 26 when we left, yeah.
Did you leave with your parents?
Parents, yeah.
That's so fortunate.
It was, but it was also another trick that the Soviet government did. They would say, if a young person wants to leave, they have to take their parents with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't want to take care of the parents.
Right.
Right. But it was a trick because most older parents did not want to go.
Oh, right.
So most of the time, the answer would be, no, we're not going.
Right, because they don't want to pick up and leave when they're 70.
Exactly. Or, yeah. And my dad was into listening to Voice of America. He was.
That's what my dad listened to. That's what inspired him.
I think Americans should listen to Voice of America. Sometimes.
That's what my dad said. I want to come to America because of that. He would get that one show.
Yes. Yes.
And the Beatles, too, is Britain. But he loved it. And Coca-Cola. Yeah. He would find somewhere to get a bottle of Coca-Cola with my mother. And that was just like, I gotta go to America because it was so wonderful.
Yeah. We didn't have, I remember making bootleg copies of the Beatles because they were outlawed in the Soviet Union because they had long hair. And that would not be that
it's
music
true.
Just like the gays.
Just like the gays. Radio free.
Free Europe. Yeah.
That's my dad listened to and listened to the Beatles on there and oh my gosh. Yeah.
So you but they come with you and where do you land?
We land in New York.
In New York.
Yeah.
And you set up shop there? You like you guys
get well, back? We didn't have anything, so we literally what the Soviet government wanted to do is to give an example of how terrible it is to consider leaving. Oh, you know, they're like rats leaving the ship. You know, it's like, so they would make everything. It took us 2 years to get out. And the first thing they do, they fire you from work. Mm-hmm. And so you have no means. So most people watching this struggle go, I'm not doing that. And so we were able to, my dad was an inventor and he was able to create something that really gave us an opportunity to get out. And so we had a little bit of money to survive this. Most people didn't. So when we come to America and they exchange us, when we left, they exchange each person $100 you could have to take with you. That's it.
Jesus.
And then a couple of suitcases of clothing and just whatever, you know, necessities. And that's it. And that's how we came to New York. So by the time we got there, we didn't.
Now, what did your folks, because they're, you know, older than you, what do they think of New York when you get there?
Well, it was mixed emotion. My dad was very excited. Mom was still scared. She didn't think I'll be able to. I didn't speak English. So I was the only person, you know, who could make a living. And, I had to start from scratch. So there was a lot of fear from her.
Yeah.
And it was obviously on all of us. We felt very excited on one hand, but also very scared.
Sure.
You know? And so at one point, mom was like saying, I don't know what my purpose here is. There I knew my purpose.
Right.
I could go to a store for milk. I can go to a store for bread. I stand in line. Right. I get food for my family and I feel productive. Here you can walk into a supermarket and get everything you need in an hour or for a week. And she said, what am I going to do here?
Oh, right. Yeah,
yeah, I know. It's problem. Right. First world problem.
First world problem.
And I said, mom, there is DNV. You can go stand in line just to feel at home, you know. So, but little by little, they both got.
And did you write? I mean, well, so you don't speak English. So you got to start working.
How did you learn English?
I went, I got, I saw an ad that was advertising bartending school. And I remembered on the cruise ship, bartenders were in the same room as I was performing. They were just on the other side of the room. And I thought, oh, that would be cool. If I become a bartender, then I can learn the language and then just start performing. That was just intuitively, I just came up with that. But I didn't speak English. And they needed $200 to go to that school, which was hard to get, but somehow we scraped it and found it. And I went to bartending school for 2 weeks, got the degree of mixologist, and I had no idea what I was talking. I mean, I didn't speak. So I would bring a tape recorder, which was like a big tape recorder, and I would record all the lessons. And then I managed. I was relentless that I'm going to learn the language. So I knew that if I have a girlfriend that's American, then she will teach me how to speak English. And so I would walk up to strangers or to people I knew, and I said, do you have a girlfriend for me? I swear. And at one point, somebody said, you know what? I know somebody who might be interested in you. And so we met, and we liked each other. And so she lived in New York near United Nations, and I would bring my tape recorder. My school was on 42nd Street and Fifth Avenue. I would walk over, bring my tape recorder, and then she would buy some, you know, drinks, and we would mix them and drink them. And so I was learning English and learning about American women at the same time.
And how are they different from Russian women?
That's an interesting topic. I think American women are a lot more, they had a lot longer time for women's libs, so they are a lot more open sexually, and not, the Russian women are a lot more conservative.
Uh-huh.
So, and especially in those days, it was like, you mean I do that with you? Wait, how's that work? You know, whatever. It was just all new to me.
Sure.
But
so this is way more fun.
Those American sluts. All right.
Yeah.
Loose American women.
What a country. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because back in the Ukraine, back in Odessa.
Yes.
I mean, did you have to get married to hook up in that culture? Like, more stringent, yeah?
It was much more stringent, yeah. And I actually dated a Hungarian girl at one point that I met on a cruise ship.
How was that?
Jutka was her name.
That was my stepmom's name.
Is that right? Beautiful.
What's her last name?
Nice. She was nice, though, right?
Yeah. Very
nice. Nice tits situation.
Nice tits. Nice everything teats, nice
was
ass.
Everything was
that's
nice.
My dad always said about my mom.
Yeah.
Nice teats, nice ass. So did you
but
like the
being
Hungarian?
In the communal apartment to wait for your parents, you invite the girl and you have to send them to the movies and they show up early and the whole thing is just
my dad
and
says
this country's just straight up hoes.
My dad told me back in Budapest that the kids would just make out in the park. Like there's this island called the Margitziget Island, and it's where teenagers just basically fuck in the park.
Yeah, yeah. And they would, and the police would walk around with flashlights, not flashlight, but a flashlight, and point at, you know, and you're like,
break it out.
Yeah.
So you've got, who's your first American girlfriend? Do you remember her name?
Naomi was her name. Naomi, and she was a registered nurse, so I felt safe in that way. And she was a great person to be with, and she was taking me to different places. For her, it was great to show a new person America. And for me, it was perfect for what I needed.
But this is also during the Cold War. Yeah. No,
yes.
So we're Americans kind of like, whoa, Ruski, kick rocks. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't.
I never felt that. No.
No anti-Russian.
No. For some reason, maybe, I don't know. I just actually was embraced because there was so much tension between the United States and the Soviet Union and the images that you guys were growing up with, Brezhnev with one eyebrow and, and Khrushchev banging his shoe on the podium at the United Nations. All of that was like, you know, and here I show up and I'm kind of likable, funny guy, and I tell jokes at the bar and then people tip me and I go, that was a good one, you know. So, you know, and that's, I never felt that.
How about now? How about in this current climate?
It's still somehow I've been very blessed to not get to be, you know, I'm not colluding, you know. Right. I was probably the only guy who was not interviewed by Mueller, you know. So I guess, you know, that somehow I have a pass, you know, to be able to. And now I'm excited to share with Americans when I go to the comedy store or I do show at my theater in Branson, I have an opportunity to share with Americans what socialism can be like. And yes, it was an extreme form, but socialism is socialism. It just doesn't work with capitalism. And that is an opportunity for me to just say, hey, guys, let me draw you a picture of what it was like.
So, how do you feel about, like, the, you know, a big part of a lot of the Democratic candidates, you know, platforms?
I'm nervous.
Socialist
nervous.
Ideas. Really?
Yes. When I see polls and it says that 60% of millennials are in favor of socialism, it scares me because they're not realizing the cycle that happens. Mm-hmm. It's so romantically attractive, this
universal
free
healthcare
stuff.
And free tuition.
But nobody's explaining how do you get there. And the only way the socialists know how to get there is to collectivize or take the private property and make it collective property. Mm-hmm. And then they can rule, and then they become dictators. Because that's what breeds that. You know, do you guys know what Fidel Castro, when he passed
great
away
guy.
A year ago?
Yes.
Great guy. do you know what his net worth was when he passed away?
No.
$900 million. And you go,
it's a lot of
the country. Yeah, it pays to be a dictator, yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, you and I briefly.
I know a lot of Cuban people who, you know, firsthand. Like growing up in Florida, mm-hmm. who you know
grew up
had
in that
their,
fun regime,
yeah,
and, no shoes,
and had their homes taken, and you know their cousin was killed, and
yes.
You know all that shit.
Well, yes. Also, you and I discussed at the Comedy Store briefly the culture of monitoring other people's language,
yes.
Censoring comedians,
yes.
What we just had with the SNL thing, a kid getting fired
yes.
before he was hired because of yes. some stuff he said on a podcast yeah. years ago. Yeah. How do you feel about that, too? Because you grew up in that culture as well.
Well, I was censored by the Department of Jokes, so I had the extreme.
Right.
I saw the end of the movie. Spoiler alert, it doesn't end well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does not,
yeah.
Because it encroaches very... it's interesting. I learned that also not too long ago, if you Google this, that the political correctness originated 1917 by Vladimir Lenin.
Wow,
and
little
it
guy
was
named
the,
Lenin.
Yeah, and it was the adherence to the Communist Party policies and ideology. And if you veer off, you go to labor camp, you go to prison, you go, you disappear. And that's why Lenin is responsible for about 5 to 6 million people dead. Now, I grew up, he was our God. There was nothing. He never would hurt a fly.
Right.
Yeah, 6 million dead. Then Stalin came,
and
that's another 40 million.
Yeah,
put it in fifth gear, sixth
exactly.
gear. Yeah.
So I grew up with my parents, they lived through Stalin era. It was like, don't say please, don't draw a picture of Statue of Liberty, don't do anything that could be misconstrued by them, and then they take you away.
Because that's the other thing in those environments is, you know, your neighbor tells on you, you know,
absolutely.
And the guy that smiles at you every day.
Absolutely.
Like, oh,
absolutely.
My dad told me a story because it's at school they tell the little children, report your parents if you hear even your parents saying something, and it happened next door. Some kid just, you know, you make a comment
innocent,
at
yeah.
home, you have no idea, and that's that. Parents
yeah.
are taken.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, yeah, that this culture, it's an infinite regress. That's the fear. Like once you start censoring what people can say or getting them fired, they disappear.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what's scary
yeah,
about
exactly.
this culture.
Exactly.
You know?
So I want to go back, though, to New York. You're making people laugh at the bar.
Yes.
How long does it take you to get back on stage?
I did a show. I started working. I got hired at Grossinger's Hotel in the Catskills
uh-huh.
as a bar boy
uh-huh.
for $1.20 an hour.
Jesus, man.
And my job was to just carry buckets of ice and stuff like that. And I was happy because, here's why, because the bar was called Pink Elephant Lounge, big bar. And then next door is a theater, like 2000, it's something I grew up,
yeah.
you know, performing. So I'm going, if I just survive here, I can go in the break and watch comedians or mm-hmm. singers. So it was like a school. I was like, yeah, I'm there. And so... And I was learning English at the same time, and little by little got a promotion as a bartender. And that's where it was more one-on-one.
Yeah.
I was able to talk to people. and got my English got better. And then I got enough guts to go to the booker for the theater, and I said, would you let me just do like a 5 minutes of jokes that I translated and tested on the my customers and all of that.
What was your first set? Do you remember?
I remember first joke that that in there was a an exhibit of women underwear. And there it was international exhibit, and the American woman came and asked for 7 pair of underwear. And they said, why do you need 7 pairs? So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 7 days of the week I need. And the French woman came over and she said, I need 5 pair of underwear. And they said, why? And she said, well, because Saturday and Sunday, my husband is home, so I don't need underwear. And next was a Russian woman, and she asked for 12 pair of underwear. And they said, why? Well, January, February, March.
I love it.
And so wait,
I love
you,
it.
They let you, they're like, yeah, go ahead and do it? Like they?
No, what they did, there was a show that they did in the afternoon. It was Simon Says, a game with the older folks who, you know, so there would be like 100 people there playing Simon Says. And they said, you can go before that guy, you know, guy, and he'll introduce you, and you can tell jokes.
What a hot show. Simon
but
says.
I was excited, right?
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Of course.
And then right in the middle of it, as I told one or two jokes, and all of a sudden, a woman in the back is like, and I thought she was laughing. She had seizures.
Oh, shit.
And people, this is how strange this, people, they take her in the, and they take her away.
Wow, you just had that on deck?
Yeah.
Jesus. That was pretty amazing, Tom. Gosh.
And they taking her away, and it was like one of those, and people come over, and they hit me on the back and going, you killed. And I'm going, no, not killed, you know.
Yeah. That's, so wait, so from there, though, are you even planning or thinking about Los Angeles? Or, cause you know
I wasn't for a while. I moved to Miami for a while because the business ends in the Catskills, like in the winter time.
Right.
So everybody migrates out.
And your parents come with you?
No, parents stayed in New York. And I started, I worked there. The manager from Catskills were a manager there, and he gave me a job as a short order cook, which make no sense to me. And I mean, what's a hamburger, what's a red, what's medium? I mean, I'm thinking, oh, it's mustard on the medium rare, and the rare is just ketchup, you know. So it's my mind. So but I had a job, and then I get an offer. This was something that neighbors in New York helped me figure out how to make a resume. And they were asking me, what did you do? And I would say, you know, I was performing the cruise ship. So they helped me come up with the resume, and they took the initiative and sent it out to different cruise ship companies. So I get a phone call from my mom in New York saying, the Royal Caribbean wants you to come to get on the ship tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah, tonight. And it was like dream come true. I mean, because I associated the fun time that I had with Hungarian girl and and so I figured I'm going back on the cruise ship.
Yeah.
So I get there, but nobody interviewed me. They just said, so get on, and I get on, and then they realized that I speak very little English. And my job was assistant of cruise director in entertaining, like do a staff show. And my job was to be in charge of people, excursions,
oh, yeah.
Which I didn't even know what that meant.
Right. That's like right? When I take out the jet skis for the day, I want to go
on the buses on the bus to go to some tour.
Activity. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I have a hunch that there are still people in St. Thomas somewhere looking for that bus because I send them the wrong way. But it lasted 1 week because they couldn't. get rid of me before they brought me back to Miami.
Sure.
That's the only reason. So they, I got fired. My first job, you know, my job to be fired.
But it's really because you're at that point, your lack of English, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm like really scared now. I got, so I go back to New York, get a job in greeting bell company, which was some Russian people were making at home some ornaments for Christmas trees. And this American lady kind of organized all of this. So they were cheap labor, and she was doing real well. And so she hired me as a shipping manager. But then the season was over, and she goes, I don't have really money to pay you, but maybe if you go to Los Angeles, I know somebody who knows somebody who is friends with producer, executive producer of Three's Company, which was at that time a huge show.
Huge.
Right? So I go. So I bought a ticket for 10 days, and I had a plan. I'm going to go to L.A. I'm going to become a star, and then...
I love it.
And then I'll be back, you know, and I heard people making it overnight, so I'm thinking I'll give myself 10 days just in case things don't go so well, right? And so I go there, and I get, I need to showcase for this guy. So I go to the comedy store, and the secretary gave me a spot, and I was so excited. I'm going, oh, he's going to come. And this is like day four. I'm ahead of schedule. I'm good. You know, he's going to come. He's going to tell me that I have a part in the series, yeah, and everything will be great. And he didn't make it. He left a message, can't make it. And I was like...
By the way, that is still the reality of every time they're like, guess who's coming out to see your set?
It's like every time they're like,
it's the director, it's the president of this company.
Never,
and then you're
happens.
Like, do they hear? They're like, they couldn't make it tonight. They actually forgot they had dinner.
And you're like, oh, yeah, they don't okay. give a shit.
That's right. Yeah. That's, so, but I performed...
At the comedy store.
At the comedy store.
Hey, and did, and so, but did Mitzi... Shore pass you?
Yeah.
At that?
Well, she didn't pass me, but she sent her secretary, Chrissy, I remember her name, running after me to say that she liked me. And so Chrissy runs after me and she goes, Mitzi liked you. Congratulations. And I go, who is Mitzi? I had no idea. And she goes, she's the owner of the comedy store. Go sit, talk to her. So I go sit down, talk to her. And she said, stay in Los Angeles. There is always place for good and different. And I'm going, I can't because my parents are in, you know, and yeah. I got to go back. And she goes, come back tomorrow and see a regular show. And then you tell me. So I come back next day and I sit in the back of the original room. And first person on stage, they introduced Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. And second, followed by Billy Crystal. And then after that, Pryor showed up. And then Letterman. And it was like, and I'm sitting there. I'm saying, I am ahead of schedule. I am already here. I made it. It was just like one of those moments. And so then I said to Mitzi, you know, I don't have a job. I don't know how I'm going to live here. And she goes, well, and your parents are in L.A., and she goes, what does your dad do? I said, he was a building construction engineer. And said, if I give him a job as a carpenter, that would work for you, right? And I go, yeah. So I moved my parents. My dad got a job as a carpenter. I was helping him for 2 years.
And and he was working for her?
For her, for Mitzi.
Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah. Building stuff, those booths. Tables,
what?
Stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, the stuff that you guys
wow.
see at the comedy store.
Your dad built.
My dad and me, and then I took over because he wasn't really, yeah. he was older to, you know, to do certain things. And I stayed there for a long time. This was like one of my jobs was to go to her house, to Mitzi's house, and put the doorknobs back on the doors that Paulie and Peter were taking off because they were smoking pot. And they didn't want her to walk in on them. So they would just take off these doorknobs and throw them away. They didn't even store them anywhere. Throw them away. So my job was to go to the store, get new doorknobs, come back, put them on. It was a job security was there for me.
Yeah.
Because they were not going to stop, you know.
This is like a daily occurrence?
A couple of times a week. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So you're going to the you're a carpenter by day, and yeah. then you're at the store like every night watching?
I'm watching, and then little by little, Mitzi gives me like a spot. The original, and then when Robin was casted in the movie Mask on the Hudson.
That's my movie. Yeah, that's the one I watched over and over with my dad.
And so
I love that movie.
He brought Paul Mazursky, and that's how I got the part. So it was like all organically evolving.
What did that feel like? That had to feel amazing.
Oh, my goodness. It was like again, my English was still pretty soft, and it was 1981, and I was making a major motion picture, and then I got a part with Richard Pryor in Brewster's Millions,
yeah,
and then it was just like, I was like, and I actually thought it was happening to everybody. I mean, right. This is like, you know, you come here, you get the package. I did the movie with Meryl Streep and Jack Nicholson, and I'm like going, this is going to continue forever. This is, you know, and then I get the White House calling, and I'm performing for the president. And, I mean, all of that was just like an American dream come true. I never expected anything like that, but I thought, well, I guess that's a normal thing now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Soviet Union collapsed.
Right. Shit.
I did not see the writing on the Berlin Wall at all. And so all of a sudden I'm like, I'm realizing there's, you know, Letterman has a top 10 list on the night of the collapse. And I make number one in the list.
Oh, no.
Yakov Smirnov will be out of work.
What?
Yeah. And shit. I thought it was funny. I'm going, I'm still funny. What's going to happen? Nothing. 6 months later, none of my contracts in Vegas, Atlantic City, Reno, Tahoe were renewed. None.
Fuck.
And I couldn't find a spot. Even clubs, people just kind of turned me off. And I realized later on what happened. I was meeting their need. I was like an aspirin from a headache of the Soviet Union. The headache goes away. They put an aspirin back on the shelf, and you don't need it anymore.
Wow.
So I was desperate. I mean, we had two little kids, my wife and I, and no income, and we live in Pacific Palisades, and we can't afford the mortgage. So I start looking for a place where people did not know that the Soviet Union collapsed. So
that's really your thought?
There was no other. Where else am I going to go?
Brilliant.
I mean, so Branson, Missouri, they still don't know. They still, and I'm not telling.
Don't
so,
tell.
Yeah, no. I've had this theater now, 2000 seat theater for 25 years.
So you went, you saw a theater there, or you built one?
I rented one for a while because the money was short, but then later I bought it, and I entertained over 4.5 million people since I got there.
What?
It's amazing. And what a brilliant idea.
And is it putting on shows all the time?
Yeah, well, like, I'm going to Branson October 9, I start October 11. And do like 2 months back to back, 58 shows.
What?
Yeah, 58 shows, and they're already pre-sold, and so I just walk out, and it's like, it's my place, you know.
And then but I mean, like, when you're not there, the theater.
There's like Acrobats of China was there. There was like Illusion show. So it's still working as a theater, but when I go back,
but they still know Russians are bad, and then here's this guy.
Actually, they embrace me more for, I think, American success story more than...
Yeah, that's a great angle.
Coming from and saying...
Do other comics pass through there?
Jim Stafford.
Okay.
He was there before I was there. And then several tried to, like David Brenner tried to get in there. But it's a very specific market.
Where is Branson?
Branson is in Missouri.
Well, yeah.
It's in the middle of the... It's like 4 hours from St. Louis and from Kansas City. So it's right in the center.
Right in the middle. Yeah. Okay.
Middle of the buckle belt, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it kind of makes sense. I mean, what kind of material are you doing in Branson?
Very similar to... I had to soften it a little bit.
To Russian. I imagine because the Midwest can be very conservative.
Yes.
So it kind of goes back to your initial training as a stand-up in some way.
You're absolutely right.
Right? Like
I
you
was
can't,
ready.
No sex, no religion, no politics. Let's just tell these easy jokes. Not like, easy, but like, definitely not easy.
Not
but
easy.
I'm saying nobody's going to storm out offended because you're talking about the president
100%,
or something.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 100%. But I was ready for that. I was trained for since
Here's
I was 15 years old.
Here's a clip of you from your most recent show.
Oh. I'm looking for girls for pussy.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was the wrong. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Now, you've seen some wild shit in your day.
Yes, I have.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
Oh, come on.
What is that?
A bull.
Crane.
They got upset.
A bull went after the lady who wore a red dress?
Yeah, and then, but they're like, all right, knock it off, man. Get out of here.
And holy cow. What a country, huh?
What a country.
Wow.
Yeah, we just don't know exactly what country, but we're assuming it's,
It looked Eastern, right?
It did.
Eastern.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely...
Yeah, the bulls don't...
You think it's our tribe, or is it Asian Eastern, you mean?
Mongolian, maybe? I don't know.
I need to look at the bull one more time just to know which tribe.
Do you want to watch it more time?
No, okay.
No, it's fine. I don't think Yakov shares your joy in this clip. Okay.
Different country.
Yes, thank you for sharing that with me. I mean, I was wondering how good my life was up till now. I really am grateful. Yeah.
May I ask you a stupid question?
Yeah.
Obviously, the Smirnoff, this is a joke, right?
Yes.
It's not your real Russian
Correct.
God-given.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Because you knew Americans knew Smirnoff vodka.
I worked in the bar.
Oh, I knew,
and I had the name tag Yakov, right? And they would say, where are you from? And I, you know, I tell them from Ukraine. And they go, oh, so what's your last name? And my last name is Pokis. And they go, okay. Can I have some Smirnoff? You know, and I was like, little by little, it was like, okay, I think they're telling me something, you know. So.
That's also very smart.
Very, very smart. Clever.
And I tell a joke about coming out of the airport, Kennedy Airport, and I see my name written big letters, America loves Smirnoff. What a country.
Here's another one for you.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Remember this one?
Oh,
he's okay.
Wow.
We checked.
He had to be drunk out of his mind, right?
I think it's more just birth shit. Just his brain chemistry.
Possible. But it's interesting that the building is like, it doesn't look American. What?
Can you?
He's not laughing. Neither
can
am
you?
I. That's cool.
Well, we like geography. Do you know what country this is?
It had to be. Asian, because the guy who's screaming looked Asian, but it could have been, but it could have been in East Los Angeles.
That's true.
It's from Taiwan.
Uh-huh.
Taiwan.
Okay.
Yeah. We respect the one China policy, but this is
okay. May I ask him some other relevant questions?
Sure.
Have you been back to Odessa since you left?
I have.
Yeah.
I married the my second marriage. I married the girl from Ukraine and
ditch the Hungarian chick, huh?
Well,
ditch those Americans.
I think she was more ditching me than
I think about my second wife all the time. What did you? Did you?
I'm his first wife. What do you think? 20-year-old yoga instructor?
Yeah, what should I look for?
Bimbo.
On number two?
I'm not getting into this, guys. I feel like it's your deal.
I feel like.
And I feel like I'm that guy from Taiwan getting his. No. No, don't get me into this.
No, thanks.
He's dead.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay,
what? His legs weren't even shattered. Isn't that amazing?
Okay.
What was that?
That?
What happened?
Oh, then? A car hit him.
Smashed his
legs. You didn't
legs.
See that part?
I did not. Let's go back.
Yeah.
No, let's not.
Have you met Mikhail Broshnikov? You friends with him?
I did not. Neither.
Never?
Well, no, I've been.
Remember that
I was
film?
Sworn in.
Yeah.
I was sworn in the same day as he was sworn in
at
the Statue of Liberty ceremonies. Yeah. But
oh,
I
nice.
Didn't meet him. Yeah, he was.
I feel like you guys could be buddies.
Here, look. It's a car backing up into the garage.
Yeah. Do you see that reaction? It's normal. Oh, sympathy.
Oh, that's not.
No, he thinks it's funny. He's a sociopath.
No, yeah. I'm not.
Serial killer, psycho. What I'm so struck by you is I had no idea how resilient you are. And I think that is the mark of the immigrant mentality. I love it. I mean, you were a cook. You started your own theater when Soviet Union collapsed. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking amazing what you
did. There's like a real entrepreneurial spirit to what you did, especially that figuring out, like, I got to go somewhere now and targeting Branson.
I think you're right. And then when Branson fell, like about 4.5, 5 years ago, when I felt like, okay, I have learned a lot here. I was able to develop a lot of material.
Mm-hmm.
But my material shifted because after I went through a divorce, it was really difficult because I remember having, you know, my kids with me for a first time. And I was reading my daughter a book, the fairy tale, and it ended, you know, and she was going to bed, and I'm reading her bedtime story, and it ended with, and they lived happily ever after, and she goes, Daddy, so why didn't you and Mommy live happily ever after? And I came up with a great answer. I said, go to sleep. But I couldn't sleep, right? I literally took this on, as you noticed, about me surviving and going, okay, where can we go? Let's go to Branson. This time I went inside and realizing me, I'm going, I can't blame her for everything. Obviously, I didn't know something as well. So I went back to college. I went to University of Pennsylvania, got my master's degree in psychology. Then became professor at Missouri State University, teaching a course in happiness and laughter. Because
what?
I really, yeah. This May 18, I graduated with my doctorate degree from Pepperdine University.
I love it.
So
what?
I love this. This is legit.
I told you I brought you some. So
oh
this
my
is,
gosh.
This is my dissertation.
Get the heck
190
out.
Pages of, and it's a law of laughter, LOL. That was my, why does laughter, here's what sent me on this quest. Because in the beginning of the relationship, everybody's laughing. Mm-hmm. And I start asking people in my theater, I said, would you go on the second date if you didn't have laughter in the first date? And nobody, I asked them to clap, nobody clapped. 4.5 million people, I'm going, there's something there about laughter that we recognize that this might be the right person. It's not the only criteria, but it's a big one.
It's so true.
Yeah. And then, so what I start seeing, I'm going, so laughter is there in the beginning as a sign. And then intimacy is next. And then you move in together, live, marry, whatever. And then when things don't go well, it's the reverse. It's like laughter goes first. Second thing is intimacy. Third thing is your house.
Right.
So I needed to go to get master's degree and doctorate degree to understand why does it happen to people and what attracts people and what repels people. And so I developed a lot of things during my studying. This is something I'll show you. I haven't shown it.
Oh, I think Tom's fond of this already.
What's that? Is that a nut tugger? Yeah.
No. I'll show you. Do you have a way to show it here, right on this table?
I think
do it in your
hands.
You
have to, like, yeah,
if you hold it up to your face.
Okay, so it's not as good as, okay. So you have two magnets, equal, you know, they're all the same. And so one says give and receive on one side. The other one says give and receive on the other side. So when they're opposite, when one person is giving, the other person is receiving, they're solid. And then they reverse this process.
Right.
But when the honeymoon stage, and this process happens during the honeymoon stage.
Right.
All the hormones that are given to us, dopamine and oxytocin and serotonin, all of those make us give the right thing to the right person, and then they receive it and they give back, and it's wonderful. And then it lasts about a year. That's what the science has now proven, the last year. So then they start giving, but they don't know what. And this is why I said
it's repelling.
They start repelling. They start repelling. So then people block themselves. They create their own lives. And they create laughter with other people. And then they no longer repel. So if you understand this, and this is what helped me, and this is why I'm so happy in my marriage now, because she saw this and she fell in love with this concept, and it helped us to understand what to give, what to receive. And then
look at you.
I like that.
So that's what is your advice for people? Because I love relationship stuff too. Is it really to stay aware of the fact that you need to give and receive?
Awareness is great. So the formula that came out in this dissertation was three elements that will ensure laughter continues, right?
Yeah.
Number one, you have to be complementary opposite, which this society is doing everything to make us the same.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's no gender.
Everything.
We know that,
Yeah. My wife.
What's your identity?
My wife, this is, she goes to Santa Monica College to learn English. And so she wanted to take another course, and they asked her to fill out this application. And normally I'm there to help her, but I wasn't. And she calls me and she goes, it says gender, but it has six different things. Which one am I?
Oh.
And to her, it was like, I was looking for something that says normal, but there is no such thing. Right. So the complementary is opposite, number one. Number two, understanding the needs of the person. Now, in the beginning, we're giving this free introductory offer during the honeymoon stage.
Right.
And then we got to pay full price. So conscious understanding of what is it that she is expecting? What is it that you're expecting? And it's totally different for her than for you. And I was researching all of this, and it was like, wow, once people know it, they have a shot. They have a shot, and there are books on this, and so this dissertation. Once you understand those, you can go by the numbers. You go, okay, she needs affection, conversation, open and honesty. There, she's nodding, you know.
So much affection. I'm very affectionate.
But he needs the
sandwiches, blowjobs, check, pets, scratches.
Not in that order, right? Not in that. So,
and then the third element?
And the third element is shared sense of humor.
100%.
But that happens pretty much
immediately.
Yeah. And you just need to sustain it, but it happens immediately. So, those two first ones, complementary opposites and understanding the needs of the other person, would solve 90% of the problems.
Wow. I feel like if I show that to my potential second wife. It's a great, you know what I mean? It's a great fit. Like, it's great teaching tool. And I could be like, see how this works. You know?
I can see why your show is popular. Yes.
You know, I will say I knew Tom was the one for me when we watched this documentary about Timothy Treadwell, the guy who likes to camp with grizzly bears. It was called Grizzly Man.
Yes.
And it was a sad scene, I think, where he's getting mauled by a bear.
And he
you
was
see
lying.
That? And both Tom and I are the only two assholes laughing.
No, I'll tell you exactly.
And I was
what
like,
was.
This is the guy
funny.
For me.
This was the scene. This was the scene. It's a documentary Werner Herzog did about the guy who lived with bears, and he was eventually killed by a bear. And there was one scene where there was a pilot who said that, you know, he goes, normally up in Alaska, you know, I take people here and there. This guy hired me to drop him off in bear country during the most active bear hunting season, like when bears are foraging for food. He goes, I thought the guy was, you know, a little funny in the head. And everybody in the theater was like, oh. And we were like, ah, ha, 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 laughing. And a couple of people like turned, you know, and looked and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's when I knew we had something special.
Yes. And that's why I know why you have those clips. Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. The more pain, the better.
The better. Yeah. I mean, that bear guy, I mean.
You fucking retard.
He wasn't smart.
So the second wife, you guys have a shared sense of humor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very
you feel
much
like
so.
This was a home
and
run.
She makes me laugh as well as I'm making her laugh.
Good.
And, yeah, big time.
And you're aware of her needs.
Very much so.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Very
and
much
I, and
so.
I think wanting to
very
keep up so. With somebody else's needs.
Yes.
It's the want to
choosing
please.
To become yes that person. That took me 20 years, literally, from when I got divorced to when I met her. 20 years. I was dating different people. I was going, we're not complementary opposites. I mean, I knew all of this already, but I couldn't find
complementary opposites. Explain that again. What is complementary?
It's like the when you give, she receives.
Oh, I got you.
And when
oh, okay.
She gives, you receive.
That's complementary
yeah,
opposites.
That's complementary opposites.
Okay.
And what you give is what she needs or what you need.
Right.
That's the and that's it. It's that simple.
I like
but
it.
But the commitment to that is not simple. To say right. I'm taking full responsibility of doing this for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm going to provide for us.
And that's really the essence of a good relationship is personal responsibility.
Yes.
Instead of blaming your spouse for right. your unhappiness,
right.
I see, because I do, my parents, I think, did that. Like, they were so angry inside themselves and they would lash out at the other person. Yeah. Like, this motherfucker, he's doing everything wrong. It's like, yeah, but that's not, it's not him, you bitch. Like, what are you doing? You know, make yourself, get your shit right and then you can take care of other people. But
yeah.
It's not easy.
No.
For people, they see it a lot easier somewhere
to
else.
Pick on, and
yeah.
to pick on,
yes.
and then they have affairs and they think, well, the next one's going to be easier. It's like, it's the same, you're just picking the same people,
yes.
usually.
Yes.
And now, tell your partner what you need.
Fuck with my ass, man.
You know?
Oh, yeah. What do you need, Tom? What are your needs?
You know what my needs are.
I do.
Yeah.
She just lists them. Yeah.
Football
yeah,
sandwiches, DJ. Nut tugger.
Admiration.
And then
admiration.
Yours. Yeah.
Big one.
I
huge.
Think, and I like that word.
Yeah.
Admiration. It's more than, or I actually like adoration. I adore Tom Segura. Adore and
but
admire.
I think
adore is
I
different than admire.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yo,
yes.
Big time. For a man.
Oh, that's interesting.
Men need admiration more than women need
way
admiration.
Bigger. Way right. bigger.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Way bigger.
And what does that mean exactly? So explain to the women listening.
To recognize that, you know, you need to find something that you admire, whether he's a great dad, whether he's a great provider, whether he's funny, whatever those things are. And it, sometimes it's kind of slim pickings because, you know, you're mad at each other.
Guy's a real piece of shit.
It's hard to
yeah.
admire that. But,
yeah.
but having an exercise of saying, I really appreciate you and admire you for
why
this.
Do you think, though, because I've always thought that before you even articulate it, that men have the need for admiration more than women have that. You know, not that it's non-existent the other way, but why do you feel like men need
I think
that?
It was building into our DNA in terms of, like, we were stronger species who was able to go and risk their lives to get a kill a bear or be eaten by a bear or whatever. And the admiration of a woman saying, you kept us alive.
Oh, it's like you, fuel.
Yeah. And that made him go back to the same thing.
That's right.
Yeah. And wars was the same thing.
It's
you
appreciation
know?
For appreciate, the sacrifice.
And those parades and all of those things that were medals, all of those things were designed to feed that ego.
Yes.
But if you see it as healthy and saying, this man is a good man, and he wants to give me and the family something great, I'm going to find some wonderful words and actions. And so my son was visiting yesterday, and he's 26, and my wife was so adorable. I gave her a nice birthday card, you know, that I designed and a poem and stuff like that. And she was showing it off to him, saying, look what your dad did. And it was just like, oh, this was
you
like...
You feel it?
Oh, yeah. Totally, yeah.
Well, it's like mommy's... I mean, I hate to be too Freudian, but it is. It's mommy's initial approval, right? It's the...
Probably
the gaze of the approving woman, you know? I don't know. I tie it back to like, I love my sons, and I'd hope that one day my sons will marry a woman who admires them the way...
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, they looks at them lovingly the way I do, not with disdain or... You want a woman who will be like, this guy's the best.
Absolutely.
This guy's
and
the
I
best.
And I would hold out for I held out for 20 years. Yeah. I was, you know, basically said, no, until I felt that this woman, and she fell in love when she saw this, and she just went, there is brilliance in here, and that immediately gave me that sense of being admired, and I was be able to share something that she found valuable.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. That's
and what's
awesome.
Interesting too is women, somebody listened to this might go, oh, that's so old school. That's so 1950s. Yeah. But you have to understand too that the woman holds a lot of power. There's a lot of power
huge,
in that.
Huge.
And if women, look, I know this is old school as fuck, but we're the center of the home, the woman, the mother.
No doubt.
And if mommy's not happy, nobody else is happy. Correct. And if mom isn't doing this stuff, it's like the whole fucking world falls
apart. The whole ecosystem
apart
falls apart. Yeah.
It's a big responsibility.
But this society also devalued that.
Yes. Oh, it's well we're all the
time.
Same now, right?
It made, women aren't women. Yeah, it made, so what do you do for a living? It used to be, you know, what's your family like? You know, and now it's like, no, what do you do? What do you do? And men are lost at this society. They don't know what to do. That's why the suicide rate is so huge and all of those opioids and all of those things happening, because men have not been given attention for the last 50 years, really. Women have been, and they succeeded tremendously. But man kind of was left in the dust, and they don't know what to
do. We don't know how to adjust yet. We don't know what the roles are just yet. Maybe.
And so it's hard for a man to be that, to be admired for something when he's a child, overgrown child.
Right.
And so the wife feels like she's a mother to
him.
And that totally destroys
and that's not a good
self-esteem, everything.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a bad one too. You don't want to be a mother to your husband.
I never would have expected that such great insight into relationships and human behavior would come from Yakov Smirnoff.
I know.
I'm serious, man. It's like, it's fascinating. It's really interesting.
Thank you.
You
have to come back and talk about this again next time.
But you know what? It came from laughter. It's what we do, right? Yeah. But and when we're on stage, we're listening very, very carefully for that laughter. Mm. If it doesn't happen, we get off stage and we're thinking, you know what? I could have said this or I could have said that. That laughter in a relationship is your gauge.
Yeah.
100%.
And if you keep laughing, everything's great.
That's true.
But the laughter goes away. It's a first signal. It's like, you know, having a mammogram or something. You check laughter and see, am I needing some attention to this? And if I do, go back to those three things, sense of humor we have. So now what do I need to do? I need to become complementary opposite, and I need to know what her or his needs are.
It's fascinating stuff. Your whole story is amazing. I would love for you to come back and talk all about relationships.
I'd be happy to.
So anybody, anything that you want to tell people where they can see you or anything coming
they
up?
They can see me. I don't know. Where do you air this? Is it airs right away or
no? It'll no? be. A,
okay.
Yeah,
it's okay. So probably Branson, at my Amazing. Theater, Yakov Smirnov Theater. And I'll be there, from October 11th to December 7th. And, yakov.com, YAKOV.com. And then on social media, you know, it's Yakov _ Smirnov. And I feel silly promoting that because, you know, I'm going to be followed. And in the Soviet Union, that's the last thing I wanted. I wanted. So awesome. So find me on social media and
there you go.
Follow me.
Yakov, thanks so much
Thank
for coming.
Thank you so pleasure. Much.
Thank you guys Thank for you. Listening, for watching. We'll see you in another week.
Ta-ta there, retard.
Okay.
Welcome to Lucifer's Lair.
Oh, guess him.
You all know my digits by now.
Oh, guess him.
I come over and fuck the shit out of me.
Oh, guess.
I come over and fuck the shit out of me.
Oh, guess him.
Put clamps on the nipples, man. Let's get down with brass tacks.
Oh, oh, oh.
Get off!
Oh, yeah! Oh, 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 o